Hello and welcome to episode 254 of the Daily Brainwave. My name is Sean and I will be your host as we try and discover the most useful and interesting fact known to mankind. Find us online at dailybrainwave.com and contact the show via email at Sean, that's S-E-A-N, at dailybrainwave.com. We have a listener theme week coming up soon, so send in your topics to that Sean at dailybrainwave.com email address for your chance to be included on the show. Today, we continue our Joan of Arc theme week by heading to the courtroom. Everyone loves a good courtroom drama. Just ask Judge Judy, one of the highest paid personalities on television. But even Judy couldn't hold a candle to Joan. First off, the road from Joan of Arc's capture in 1430 to the start of her trial in 1431 was peppered with Joan's various attempts to escape. Indeed, within days of her capture, Joan tried to escape the castle room imprisoning her by pulling up the wooden floorboards and going out that way. When she was captured and asked why she would try to escape, she replied simply, "God helps those who help themselves." I don't know that I've really touched on this aspect of Joan so far this week, and it is a pity we don't have more time, but she really had quite a wit, as you'll see in a few minutes. But if you want to learn more about Joan's strong personality, check out the Daily Brainwave website and click on Sources to get a list of books that I read to prepare for this week's contest. You'll see just how colorful and strong-willed Joan really was. Fortunately, we have a pretty good historical record of Joan of Arc's trial, because fairly copious notes were taken at the actual event, and because of her pretty quick lionization following her death, the records were kept safe and have not really been lost to history. The records show her confidence in the face of her tribunal. It is important to understand that even though she was French and leading the French army, it was the French, not the British, who actually put her on trial. As you'll remember from episode 251 at the start of this week, France was divided in Joan's time, fractured in more ways than one. The faction that put Joan up for trial had leanings towards the British, and for whatever reason, the faction that had initially supported Joan, including the man that she had gotten crowned king, really didn't support her. Her chief opponent on the tribunal was a man named Pierre Cochon. He really didn't like Joan. Not only had her early successes on the battlefield and the political sphere cost him most of his personal influence nationwide, but as a bishop in the church, he couldn't stand to see a woman hold herself to a higher authority than he. Perhaps it is telling, then, that Cochon's last name is the French word for pig. It's important to note that Joan's trial wasn't a legal court, but an ecclesiastical court. She was being tried on the long list of Catholic doctrines. Joan was pretty flippant towards Cochon the pig and most of her tribunal throughout the trial, mostly because they represented the institution of the church, and she felt her mission had come straight from God, from the big guy himself. As such, she didn't recognize the power of these clergy to dictate her fate. To her, they were posers, nothing more than the Pharisees and Sadducees that Jesus himself had called fakers. Joan even said to the pig's face that one of her voices, St. Michael, had, quote, "told me things about you, but I shouldn't bring them up now," in front of the whole courtroom. The issue of her cross-dressing came up a lot during the trial, and perhaps shed some light into the psychology of Joan during this time. The code during the 1400s dictated that, as a chaste woman, she should be imprisoned in a facility with other women, with women working in the prison. This was done because maintaining female purity was important, and of course men couldn't restrain themselves around a chaste woman. Despite this code, she was put into a cell guarded by men who constantly threatened to rape her. She may have retreated into the comfort, then, of male clothing during her imprisonment. As I said in episode 252, there was a precedent for women to wear men's clothing if they were in danger, and in fact in Catholic canon there was at least one female saint who wore men's clothing to avoid having her purity robbed of her. Joan may have channeled this story, feeling that if she remained dressed as a man, she would be safe. Even more telling is the fact that she did not necessarily reject female clothing. Indeed, she requested a dress so that she could go to church and worship. Again, what we see here is that she viewed the church, the very house of God, as a safe place for Joan. She could be a woman, follow the social norms for females at the time, while she was in the church. But once she left that cocoon, her purity was threatened. Guarded by men, tried by men, in a room filled with nothing but other men, for 5 long months, finally wore the young Joan down. If the records show Joan's defiance in the early days of the trial, they also show her slow descent to the end. In May 1431, the trial started in January, for whatever reason, exhaustion, defiance, what have you, she basically told the pig and the rest of her tribunal to go squeal in another sty. Cochon and his peers promptly sentenced her to burn at the stake. Now understand how horrible this was. In a Catholic tradition where it was important to have a body to bury, because the body you died in would be the form you took in heaven, to be burned to ashes would mean that you would have no form. To make it worse, Cochon and the tribunal ordered her body not just burned to ashes, but just completely, absolutely decimated, so that no part of her body could be taken by supporters and used as a relic. Joan was executed on May 30th, 1431. She was 19 years old. Did you know that today, October 9th, doesn't exist in 1582? Or that today was the day that the famous Roger Williams was thrown out of the Massachusetts Bay Colony by its Puritan leaders? He would later go on to found Rhode Island. Or the day that Andrew Lloyd Webber's masterpiece, Phantom of the Opera, premiered in London. Or the day that the revolutionary-slash-mass-murderer Che Guevara was executed. Every day of the year marks an anniversary for something. And that's what we are going to look at next week. We'll travel the globe, spending each day in a different country, and finding out just what happened during the week of October 13th through the 17th, all throughout history. It's What Happened Week 2, Electric Boogaloo. Starting Monday, right here on the Daily Brainwave. Thanks for tuning in to episode 254 of the Daily Brainwave. Email the show with comments and suggestions, and most importantly, your ideas for topics for the upcoming listener theme week at Sean, that's S-E-A-N, at dailybrainwave.com. Check out our website, dailybrainwave.com, where you can find sources and links for further reading about today's topic. And make sure you tune in tomorrow as we wrap up our Joan of Arc theme week by seeing how Joan helped win a few world wars.